Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 296, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it is Friday, July 21st, 2023.
It's National Be Someone Day. I don't know what
to
I mean. You are someone, so
I mean,
pretty passive,
very popular
holiday. National Junk Food Day, so destroy your guts with that. And National Lamington Day.
Lamingtons. I don't know what that is.
That's the thing they have out in Oz, mate. Australians love Lamingtons, mate.
What
it's
are
like
they?
Yeah. I only knew this from, like, when I briefly dated an Australian woman who was like, you guys have Lamingtons up here? I'm like, hey? And it's like a chocolate coconut type cake.
Ooh, I would love that. Yeah. Love both those things. Love a combo. I'm a mound baby.
Although, like, it's named after Lord Lamington, governor of Queensland, Australia, from
right.
the 19th century. So, can only imagine what kind of fucked up shit happened.
Let's celebrate him, too. I feel like without any research, we can just say, probably a good dude.
Probably, man. Sounds pretty.
Lord?
He sounds like he's on the
I
up
mean,
and up
hell.
If a cake's named after him.
Sounds cool. A lord? Jeez. I wonder if he was one of the Lords of Leaping. It's the only other place I know Lord's from.
Wow.
Sick Christmas song ref in the dead of July. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Andale, mommy, AI, uh-oh. Who's writing scripts tonight? Andale, mommy, AI, uh-oh. If the spelling's right, Zazzle's there every night. And that is courtesy of the Casserole Casanova. He makes love to those casseroles. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. the editor-in-chief of The Good Thief, a.k.a. The Good Thief Keith, a.k.a. The Good Thief for Sutherland, is Jack Bauer in 24. Anyway, shout out to everybody who's been supporting the new podcast, The Good Thief, and shout out to Casserole Casanova for those AKAs. Hit
on
the
exacta. Fucking Casserole Casanova is on one. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a very funny stand-up comedian and writer out of New York City who's got a stand-up special dropping in a couple months. You can go get it. Other content on his YouTube channel, Django Industries. It's Django Gold!
Hello, Daily Zeitgeistians. Do you guys have a nickname for your listeners?
Zeitgang.
Gang.
Gang.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm just enjoying the splendor of summer. You know, a lot of garlands, tomatoes, that whole thing, right?
Garlands and tomatoes.
Are you guys summer tomato fans?
I mean, not in a way that I would articulate I'm a summer tomato fan, but I know to buy tomatoes in the summer.
It's more so than winter tomatoes. Yeah.
Winter tomatoes are trash. It's crazy how good they are, and yet they're only available for like 6 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
So it's really like an artificial scarcity thing where you're just like, if you're fiending for those tomatoes come about mid-July. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. So wait, I'm hitting a farmer's market later. What am I scooping up if I'm putting my Jangold lens on the tomatoes?
I think you want those big, ugly heirloom tomatoes, the ones that look like an organ.
Like a diseased organ?
Yeah.
Like
an alien. Yeah,
it's like, this is what happens when a tomato smokes cigarettes for 50 years. Yeah.
Look at this, kids.
Exactly. It's an unhealthy tomato, but those tend to be, I think, the best ones, the ones that are the craziest looking. And then you got your standard plums, which are also nice. But if I were you, I'd go for a crazy looking, multicolored heirloom tomato. Slice that up, mayonnaise and toasted bread is a great sandwich, man.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. I got you. I was like thinking of like just raw tomatoes, just like a little mayonnaise. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. I said the order wrong. Basically, a tomato sandwich is what we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Right. That's my rec to you. Zeitgeist land.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Cause I love to cook and make like pasta sauces and stuff with tomatoes. And so I feel I got to strike while the iron's hot. The other thing that's really good in July, peaches. That's the one thing I will say. Peaches in July are also fucking nasty, especially if you can find anyone who has the July flame peach. Ooh. Is like, for peach enthusiasts, I was put on. It's like, it's one of the rarer peaches you can find, and like only a few places or people have them. So
what a beautiful poetic name that is, a July flame.
Yeah,
I know.
It only happens like everything has to come together at the right time, and there has to be extreme heat in this one period. And when that happens, they just come out like sweeter than ever, and like the flavor is like so vivid. It'll blind.
So succulent. More succulent than even I could have hoped.
Jerry, I just checked on your duck. And it's more succulent than even I could have hoped. Yeah, exactly, Poppy.
Yeah, I just know like my kids asked me to just like cut up a Roma tomato and they just ate it like it was, you know, beautiful. Like I've never eaten it, just like piece by piece.
Wow.
Like it's a piece of fruit.
I hated tomatoes as a kid.
I did too. That's why. So I was like, man, kids these days. But I wonder if they're just sensitive to the fact that the tomatoes are particularly good. We don't talk, so I couldn't have asked them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't ask the boy how he feels now.
No. All right. Well, Django, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. JFK Jr. Went to Washington. RFK Jr. Sorry. I'm
he's
still
not coming
a little hungover
back,
from
he's
my QAnon podcast that I was doing earlier. RFK Jr. goes to Washington. We'll talk about how he's defending himself. We'll talk about Jason Aldean being the new Kyle Rittenhouse, Trump being the new Moses, Jim Caviezel being the same old Jesus that he has been. And then we might get into some UFO stuff. There's some UFO disclosure
stuff. This shit is wild.
Happening.
I'll give you this. This is wild.
I couldn't stop writing this section of the doc this morning. I was oh no.
No, when I saw this story yesterday, I was like, you
and away we go.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyways, all of that, plenty more. But first, Django, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh my gosh. I hope this doesn't weird you guys out too much, but I've been reading a lot about the Frank Sinatra Jr. kidnapping.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Wait,
top five kidnapping.
Basically, in the 60s, Frank Sinatra's kid, also named Frank Sinatra, got kidnapped out of his motel room by essentially like the Three Stooges. three like bumbling doofuses who like just had, like fucked up every single like level of the plan. And they actually got the ransom money delivered to them. They managed to successfully get their payout, which for the record, I think they wanted like 200,000, something like that. Frank Sr. offered them $1 million. And they're like, no, 200 is fine. So they short sold themselves by, a factor of four or five, whatever, got the money, let Frank Sinatra Jr. just like walk around. And then obviously they just like got caught because they're dumbasses, But it was, I've been reading a little bit about it, and it made me think, why aren't celebrities being kidnapped more often? You'd think with all like the crazies out there, who want to, like, you know, marry Jessica Simpson or whoever. You'd think like that would happen like all the time. And I'm not saying your listeners should do something crazy like that
to impress Jessica Simpson.
To impress and marry and fall in love with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
But I'm just surprised it doesn't happen more often. I mean, like, you'd think, you know, given all the technology we have these days, we can get some high-class kidnappings happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think a lot of them saw how poorly the Jodie Foster approach worked in the early 80s, that she wasn't into it. She
the Foster method.
Yeah, the Foster method didn't work out that well the first time around. Was that Hinckley?
That was Hinckley, man.
Hinckley trying to impress Jodie Foster.
I always say, try again. There's nothing stopping Hinckley from that. Like, maybe I should stop. Stop where I am right now, where that logically goes, but you get the idea.
Yeah,
right. Is he the one who said he loves Jersey Mike's now?
Hinckley?
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually haven't been keeping up. Like, when he first got released, I was like, you know, totally up on his sandwich preferences, but I don't think I kept up. Did he say he likes Jersey Mike's?
He had this like absurd tweet and he's like, guys, not gonna lie, Jersey Mike's really good.
Best thing about being a free man.
Yeah.
That's a good podcast, is actually just interviewing people a month after they're released from prison and be like, all right, so like, what's better than you expected? Like, what is like hitting from your like 1980s perspective? Like, what are the advances that are good? What are the advances besides the world going and getting itself in a big damn hurry that you're not too fond of?
John Hinckley's storming out of prison like, first thing I'm going to do right now is listen to some Men at Work. Let's listen to their new album. Come on.
Yeah, I got to see where these guys went. They seem to really be on a
Cabbage Patch Kid buying spree.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And there are so many stories where when you dig into the details, the criminals are not that
good,
savvy.
Yeah.
Not that. Like, it. Every time I read a true crime, like history, I'm always like a little bit inspired to be like, man, like that, I feel like I could have done pretty good at this career.
I would have crushed that abduction, man. Not like these jokers.
Yeah.
That's why I hate to plug my new podcast, but the guys in the podcast I'm doing, The Good Thief, like these Greek Robin Hood dudes, they were not fuck ups by any means. Like they cut the hole out of like police transport vans to escape prison, like while it was moving and shit. So they got for every bumbling ones, you got like the really good ones. But I wonder if
we never find out about because they never get caught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think what's like, I don't know, with like bumbling criminals or just like in the U.S., I don't know if like we're so aware of like the surveillance state that it's kind of like, I don't know, can you get away with kidnapping anyone these days with all the cameras around or something that we just don't have the imagination for it, you know?
Well, regular people are still getting kidnapped as far as I can tell, right?
I think so.
They have cell phones. They have GPS locking out of their position.
Right.
Yeah,
I think it's just a lack of all-American gumption. Our country has lost its way.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. We used to do this to, like, you know, annex places like Hawaii, you know, and just be like, hi, we took your queen. Give us everything.
She's ours now.
Yeah.
Django, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, my God. Well, this is going to kind of fly in the face of my whole summer tomatoes love. But I am coming to the conclusion these last couple of years that I think the season of summer is overrated. I think
it's 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's a consensus. Yeah. I think it's just too hot. People are a little too weird and angry in New York City, especially. It just kind of like fucks the brain chemistry a little. So I think as I get older, I'm quickly transitioning to a fall man. I think fall is where it's at. Fall is where all the dreams come true. Summer is just sticky, repetitive, day in, day out.
Yeah.
Rain falling apart. Can't sleep at night. 3 showers a day. I just can't take it anymore, guys.
You're a fall guy.
I'm a fall guy. There you go.
Yeah.
It is like it gets really positive media. Like we were talking about how heat waves, the deadliest weather event in the United States year in, year out. And the photographs that get like posted next to that story in the news is like children playing in a sprinkler or like drinking out of a fire hose or not
people
a fire
at the beach.
Yeah, like going to the beach or just somebody sweating while pouring water on their head. So it's like, but yeah, summer, I mean, in addition to just like the straight up heat deaths, like violence always rises during the summer. Bad time.
They should show the B-roll should be like a guy freaking out of the subway, like, my car's not working. My car's not working. My car's not working. Like, losing his mind. That's what summer kind of evokes for me these days.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, how climate change is just completely souring people now on seasons that used to be, like, the coolest one. Like,
I know.
So, like, it used to be, like, no one would ever, like, I think summer is overrated. Unless you're, like, someone who's, like, I get burned easily. But now it's truly, it's, like, it's fucking unbearable at times outside. And that isn't a good feeling. But I wonder if then that swings with like winter when we get like more intense winters and be like, yeah, and fuck the Arctic freezes that we have every 6 months, too.
Yeah.
It's, got a lot in store, it seems like.
What's something you think is underrated?
Oh, boys, strap in for this one. I've lately become all about room temperature water.
Okay.
I think I want my water the same temperature as my body. I don't want it hurting my teeth. I don't want space in my refrigerator, my tiny New York refrigerator filled. So lately it's been a pitcher of water on the counter at, you know, a nice 80 degrees, pound it easy. That's my approach going forward.
So it's not a sipping thing. It's more like you're doing like a F1 pit stop just to get the hydration in quickly.
Yeah. Purely efficiently. And also like, I think like in the same way the media hypes up summer, the media will hype up glistening cold glasses of water with perfect cubic ice cube. I don't think that's about it. I think water should be nice and mild so as not to offend my delicate sensibilities.
Oh, I feel like I can only drink ice water. I don't know why. I just like, it feels, I think that's how in my mind I elevate ice, like water to like a fun thing.
Oh, shit.
Like, it's cold and nice and crisp, but now I can just drink jugs of it. But yeah.
Tropical treat, yeah.
Yeah. Body temp water. All right, I'll try it. I'll think of it in the way of like it's more about how can I get it down quickly.
Yeah, I'm one of those like neurotic drink a shitload of water every day guys. So I think it just makes it easier for me. So maybe if you had a more like pleasurable relationship with water, it'd be different. But for me, it's all about the function.
Right.
Yeah. Why do I think room temp water is like drinks slower than cold water? Is that just because of that my preference is cold water? I'm not sure. But yeah, I think I can like just hammer back a lot of cold water and room temp water is like harder to get down.
Don't you ever get the shivers?
I don't, no.
Oh man, you guys are
you get the shivers, Django, from a little ice water?
100%, man.
Your lips turn blue.
Man.
You're like,
I'm a delicate little flower. I think that's the lesson we're learning here is I really.
Yeah, it's like the water can't be too hot or too cold now. Mm-hmm. It has to be just around the temperature of his internal organs.
Yeah.
Something related to what you said about tooth pain that I've just discovered is underrated for me is sensitive toothpaste. I wasn't, for some reason, I was just not paying attention to that as an option. I've started using it lately and my teeth don't hurt anymore when I eat stuff that's cold or hot. So yeah, I don't know. I lumped sensitive toothpaste in with elderly toothpaste. For some reason.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, what is this
for people with dentures?
Yeah, that's how it started. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we all got those little sensitive spots. You know, sometimes it's better to do it like that. You got a GTA 5 poster behind you?
Oh, is this me? Oh, Jesus. No, this is South Vietnam, North Vietnam.
The edge of it, the bottom of it,
which would be a great place for the GTA franchise to go. The Vietnam War, carjacking people in Saigon.
Yeah, right. Exactly. At the fall of Saigon. Okay, because there's like that little peninsula at the bottom because I'm so video game brained. I'm like, oh, is that a GTA 5 map, bro?
No, totally. And it does have little icons, you know, like banks and safe houses.
Cool, cool, cool.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about an imploding presidential campaign. We'll be right back.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And RFK Jr.,
mm-hmm.
He was invited by the House GOP to testify in front of the House Select Committee on Weaponization of the Federal Government.
Yeah, which is a real thing now because the Republicans have control of the House. They can just put these committees together to make their lies seem like official government business, which is really fun.
Does weaponization, is that literal? As in, like, guns, or does that just mean, like, in generic terms?
It's just like, more like government bad to you, right?
Yeah.
Because you spit out misinformation constantly. It's being weaponized against you. It's their favorite way to just describe accountability. But yeah, RFK, I think, he was basically invited there to be this, like, older buff attack dog to come at Joe Biden, essentially, under the guise of, like, talking about COVID and other things. And I guess in the process, take down his own candidacy. But very interesting appearance here because anyway, he was out here testifying under oath like the fucking internet doesn't exist. I'm just going to go clip for clip here. I'm not going to set them up. Here's one of the first things that this man said.
I have never been an anti-vax. I have never told anybody, I have never told the public avoid vaccination. The only thing I've asked for, and my views are constantly misrepresented.
So he said he's never been anti-vax.
Right.
And that's how we know RFK Jr. Like, we know him as the anti-vax guy. So, again, shout out to Add the Real Truther, who put out just juxtapose that clip with one from him in 2020 where he's out here being like, don't get vaccinated. So here's him in 2021, just his own words talking about the responsibility of informed citizens to stop the wave of vaccines.
Job is to resist and to talk about it to everybody. If you're walking down the street, and I do this now myself, which is, I don't want to do, I'm not a busybody.
I see somebody on a hiking trail with a carrying a little baby, and I say to them, better not get them vaccinated. And
you hear that? Yeah, just enjoying the splendor of nature. Hey, you!
Hey,
better not get him vaccinated.
Yo,
sounds
what
like
the
a cool
fuck?
Guy.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he goes on to be like, and then if he hears it from me, and if he hears it from 10 other people, then maybe he won't do it and save that child from the vaccines.
All he needs is 10 more presidential candidates to come up to him in public. And
yeah, exactly.
By the way, has this voice always sounded like that? I think that may be the first time I ever actually heard him talk. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's surprising. He has some condition that...
Sort of like Susan Collins.
Yeah. It's like spasmatic voice something.
Well, now I feel bad now. I know his condition.
Well, yes. Voice aside,
it's also weird.
The
like nobody really
terrible.
Knows where it comes from.
The vaccine, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be vaccination.
And then he goes on, right, with this interesting parade. He said, I never compared COVID restrictions to Nazi Germany. I never did that. He did do that. And Cheryl Hines, at the time, was like, I know this is my man, but that's not how I feel. So here, let's just hear him again act like, you know, the internet doesn't fucking exist. He's talking to Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz here, where she's being like, all right, let me put you on the spot about these comments.
See that? You're trying to rewrite history here. A few months ago, Mr. Kennedy, you compared COVID public health policies to barbaric, murderous tactics of Nazi Germany, saying that Jewish people in Nazi Germany had more freedom than Americans facing COVID health restrictions. In hindsight, Mr. Kennedy, do you reject this absurd and deeply hurtful and harmful comparison, or do you still stand by it?
Congressman, what you are saying is a lie.
That you said it.
She said, first of all, Congresswoman, fam. Mm-hmm. It's a lie.
No, I did not. I never continued. Okay. I never, ever.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer into the record when Mr. Kennedy said that. I reclaim my time.
Okay, so again, just to check in, that exact quote that he said, maybe he didn't say those exact words. What he did say was, quote, even in Hitler's Germany, you could cross the Alps to Switzerland. You could hide in an attic like Anne Frank did.
Which seemed like it was cool and worked out well for her.
Yeah. Right. Which is like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
But again, here he is. And then just because he was like, sir, you're trying to like rewrite history. Here's him being like, I never said anything anti-Semitic in my life. And sir, we just talked about this. But again, here's his passionate defense about how he's been smeared.
About inflation, about the war on the middle class in this country that we need to be having. And by the way, I want to say this while I'm on the record. That in my entire life, and why I'm under oath, in my entire life, I have never uttered a phrase that was either racist or anti-Semitic. I have spent my life...
Okay, sir, we just talked about just the fart dinner. We just talked about that fart dinner where he's like, yeah, COVID, I don't know, it could be designed to spare the Chinese and Ashkenazi Jews. And
am I right, folks?
I don't think he views these statements as being racist or anti-Semitic. It's just him telling it how it is. And right. So his head's like, no, are you kidding me? I was just making some common sense comments about phrenology and race science. Anyone can see. Look up any of the textbooks that I wrote. Yeah. Also, shout out in that last clip to the intern who's rocking the red bow tie. It's definitely what you call a statement intern piece when you're trying to stick out among your fellow congressional interns, you know?
Right.
That's what you got to do. You got to have just one little piece.
He's got like cousin Greg from Succession vibes.
That's what I was saying. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's the way to do it. You got to stick out from the horde by having a little, statement piece like that.
Or you're just saying, I'm a big Tucker Carlson fan.
Yeah,
mate. Huge for Tucker fan. Yeah, he can kill so many birds with one tie.
Cheryl Hines specifically called his comments on the Anne Frank comparison reprehensible and insensitive. So his own wife, it must be very exhausting to be married to him.
My reprehensible husband.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
It's just such a weird, that combo, I still don't understand. But hey, here we are. And again, seriously unserious human is up here sucking up airtime, but you know Fox News loves to just clip that stuff out and be like he's getting attacked because Joe Biden's government is a weapon now.
Yeah, they're having to come up with heroes on the right, you know. Jason Aldean
who I hadn't connected this, but yeah, he was the artist who was on stage during the shooting in Vegas.
Yeah.
And yeah, now he is like the new cause célèbre on the right.
Totally. And I think, you know, again, people are taking his try that in a small town or whatever the fuck it's called. You know, since it got pulled from CMT, I don't know. He's like, I don't know why it did. I mean, to us, it looks like Kyle Rittenhouse's mushroom trip, like with all the weird fucked up imagery. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck happened there, but I never said anything racist or talked about race. Just the imagery was so terribly racially charged. And I sang in front of a courthouse where someone was lynched in the 20s. Anyway, all that aside, so many pundits and like other people on the right have just come to jump in. To defend him. Senator Marsha Blackburn said the libs are doing cancel culture to him. Jesse Waters actually evoked Kyle Rittenhouse. He said it's the same thing they did to Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha and the McCloskeys in St. Louis. That was the white couple where the lady had the little handgun pointed all weird and the guy with the mustard stained shirt. And the Marine in the subway. Oh, boy. Scare you out of defending your land.
Non-racist stuff.
But listen to this. He's saying, scare you out of defending your land, family, and property. Once you are scared, you're easier to control. And then it's open season on all of us.
Damn.
Yeah.
Also, the libs at CMT.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, the left is now more concerned about Jason Aldean's song calling out the looters and criminals than they are about stopping looters and criminals. That tells you everything you need to know about the priorities of Democrats and the woke companies like CMT that cave into the liberal mob.
Yeah.
The woke CMT.
Some things are just reprehensible, objectively, it seems. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I don't know. Again, it's just like what's wild, like you're saying, Jack, he was on stage when the shooting erupted in Vegas. You know, that was in 2017. And then like, the lyrics in the song are talking about like shooting people because you like gun control.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you want to take my guns and I'll shoot you. Anyway, try that in a small town and everything. Like, I just love this stupid dichotomy of like in the city, people are fucking, they're knifing each other every day as they go ride their Lime scooters to the Jamba Juice, but not in a small town.
It's this weird combination where like, us city folk are like soft little crybabies who need our lattes, and also we're murdering each other day and night. Just like it's a fucking bloodbath here while we're like doing liberal things and listening to, you know, Fresh Air and stuff.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's like a massacre.
They're like, did you know in LA you have to drop kick a police officer in the back to be able to buy a Dodger hat? Just so you know, that's facts. The initiation process. That's what it is.
You get jumped in.
Yeah.
But they just have like a clip, like a 30 clip highlight reel of violence, like closed camera TV violence from cities that is just constantly on loop in all of their brains. That's like, this is just what you see walking down the street. You know, there's no selection bias here at all. Not at all.
The Clockwork Orange, like eyes held open things. If you're voluntarily doing it and watching commercials for Flomax in between.
God, they're so concerned about us. I'm good. We're good here in our cities.
Yeah. I love that, you know, he's trying to say like, that's the song's about, you know, just being against violence. It's no, you're projecting more vigilante bullshit out there in an era like we're already, like white people are on a literal hair trigger when it comes to the outside world. How many people are just getting shot because like someone walked to their door? Or something like, even like that, like white woman got in someone's car. She thought it was an Uber and then she got shot. Like, this isn't, again, good to see that his way to spread the message is to be like, yeah, I just need to stoke more fear out there and also get people on there like, I'm going to fuck you up type ethos.
Yeah. All right. And finally, another new cause célèbre, a new hero of the right. I mean, he's been here. He's been Jesus. Jim Caviezel, who is like an avid QAnon weirdo. Like I guess the events of the movie don't specifically reference QAnon, and it's pretty much like a straightforward Liam Neeson film about like people going to other countries to like fight against, you know, is it like not saying that the politics aren't fucked up in the movie, but just that like they're not doing the overt QAnon water carrying that I think I had assumed because it stars Jim Caviezel and because of the way it was being celebrated. But he is straight up and down like QAnon thinks that Donald Trump saves, like, is Liam Neeson and saving people from child trafficking instead of probably accidentally a party to sex trafficking, like, on a regular basis.
Accidentally. Yeah. giving him quite a bit of credit here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, at least.
Here's him just getting down to the nitty-gritty of what's next, you know, in this battle against satanic traffickers.
Go after the traffickers.
Do you think he understands that?
We were with him last night.
Donald Trump.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be moved to do this.
Oh, he's talking about Donald Trump.
I didn't know that. He wasn't here last night.
This is the new Moses. I mean, I'm still Jesus, but he's the new Moses. Pharaoh, let my children go free.
All right. I did not know that was an impressive.
It was even too much for Kilmeade. He was fuck, dude, what?
So this Jim Caviezel, and, like, I don't know who's next to him, but it feels like a very nervous Jim Caviezel handler.
Yeah.
And then Brian Kilmeade interviewing him. And he has the glassiest look, like, just straight, like, walked out of the cult indoctrination ceremony of which he is, like, the Messiah, and is just, like, speaking slowly, not breaking, just intense eye contact with Brian Kilmeade, talking about how we met with him last night.
Okay.
I am still Christ. Like, he said, I'm still Jesus.
Yeah, like, that is fucking wild. Like, he didn't even say it, like, tongue in cheek. Like,
no.
The look in his eyes, I think that's why it fucking weirded, you know,
Kilmeade
out, because he just sat across someone and was like, I just want to hear just one more time.
I mean, I'm still Jesus, but he's the new Moses.
He's not
the guy
laughing.
Next
He's
to
not
him.
Laughing.
He's not he laughing. Kilmeade is like, what?
Jim plays it pretty straight, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Amazing. Didn't that get, like, the Beatles in trouble when they compared themselves to, like, on the Q meter, Jesus's Q rating? I feel like John Lennon was like, we're as big as Jesus right now. And, you know, the right was up in arms, but this dude is like, we're not bigger. I'm not bigger than Jesus. I am straight up Jesus.
Yeah. He goes, I am him. He's on a basketball court and shit. Like, pointing at
his shirt.
Read the name on the back, motherfucker. Christ up in here. But what does that even, like, what's their relationship at that point? Because what, Moses, you know, chronologically,
took a couple years. Yeah.
Jesus.
Different testaments, isn't it?
Yeah. So what do you, I don't know. I'm like all my, like, you know, religious school teachings are coming back into my mind, trying to make sense of, like, that relationship. Like, so what does that mean?
Yeah.
He's Moses, you know, but I'm Christ. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also interesting, just like Trump, you know, already was president, and not only did he not solve the problem of human trafficking, he actually made it worse with all, you know, the, like, his immigration crackdowns.
What policies can you point at, Jack? Don't just say Donald Trump made it worse, because I'm tired of these libs doing this kind of stuff.
So his immigration crackdowns kneecapped legal and humanitarian avenues. And so, like, people were not able, you know, the organizations that are there to police, like, what is happening when people immigrate to the country were just not able to. It was just open season. And so there was way more trafficking. And way fewer human trafficking arrests, sex trafficking prosecutions in federal court went way down under Trump. So I guess
that's just like your opinion man. It's true. It is striking, like, seeing the upward trend of federal prosecutions for child sex trafficking, and then it's Trump, and then it's just way down.
Look how low they are on Bush, though. What was happening there? I guess we were just, like, so bogged down in Afghanistan at the time.
Yeah. And I think we just didn't also, like, societally just had no mind to make sense of even what trafficking was, or, like, child abuse, because everyone's like, what does that mean?
It was a simpler time.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing was, like, Jared Fogle at the time, for people to be like, yeah, like, that guy, him bad, and, like, completely ignoring all the other ways in which it happens.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk some UFO disclosure.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And so, you know, I'm open to this. Like, sometimes I say, like, every time I read one of these, like, do a deep dive on UFO reporting, disclosure, all that stuff, I'm like, why do we ever talk about anything else? Because it feels important. So it felt like there was an ebb, like, things were kind of coming to a close with this new wave of, you know, the New York Times reported on, like, some military surveillance and military acknowledging that there are these videos and, you know, evidence of things that they can't explain. And, you know, there were efforts, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill, but it seemed like it ended with a bunch of, like, redacted material where the mainstream media's takeaway seemed to have been, they didn't say it's definitely aliens, so we can all move along. Like, it just felt like we were like, all right, well, we're kind of tired of this story. And it felt like things were calming down. So during that time, they introduced some whistleblower protections for people coming forward with, like, evidence of, you know, things happening around UAPs that weren't supposed to be happening. UAPs is unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is, like, what they call UFOs because they don't want to be. They feel like there's a stigma from the era of flying saucers and shit.
Who's complaining about that? The aliens?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a UAP.
Yeah. But so Chuck Schumer and a bipartisan committee is not letting it drop and has proposed what the Hill describes as stunning legislation because it implies that, you know, after all the reports and information gathering that they went through in the past couple of years, they think, quote, the U.S. government or private contractors may secretly possess recovered UFOs and biological evidence of living or deceased non-human intelligence.
That's the wildest description.
Like, that's in a thing
I've
Chuck
heard.
Schumer, like, introduced.
Right. That you're being like, yo, man, they got crews out here just scooping up crashed spaceships and the fuckers inside. And you're like, yeah.
huh?
Love it. Love seeing mainstream politicians come around to the David Duchovny's school.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing that I hear a lot of smart people say is like every time this comes up, I'm like looking around to see what they're trying to cover up. Like this always feels like a distraction, like a smokescreen for, you know, whatever.
Rick renewing actually the Patriot Act to. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. But it also feels like.
But that shit just happens all the time now. Where yeah. Oh, man.
It feels like they don't need that. And also, yeah. like, this is the most high-profile, like, politician since, I guess, Harry Reid to come through and, like, attach his name to something that was just like, yeah, man, it feels like aliens are real and we, like, have them, like, hidden in a warehouse or some shit. I don't know. Like, we should look into this.
Yeah,
like,
or the last two Democratic Senate majority leaders just really into UFOs. Like, yeah. Dude, this is great.
Like, it feels like maybe the reverse is true and they're like, yeah, no one's really paying attention, so now would be an okay time for me to, like, introduce this weird legislation because I think a lot of people are just like scared of attaching their name to something that acknowledges the possibility because it's been like crackpot and seen as crackpot for so long.
Yeah.
I think people would get behind it. I mean, like it's just so much more interesting. It's like, it's a bipartisan thing. Like who is not interested in aliens? Like why? Yeah. Right.
Even Marco Rubio is, you know?
Yeah. Marco Rubio is all over this shit. I mean, I think he was kind of the public face of the first round. And I had kind of associated that with the thing of like, well, they said that they're not definitively aliens, so we're good here. But according to the legislation, non-human intelligence is defined as any sentient, intelligent, non-human life form, regardless of nature or ultimate origin, which may be presumed responsible for UFOs, which, like, I don't know, it just feels like they're aiming at something. And
well, the words that are being used are striking, especially when you're talking about like clandestine programs of recovering crashed spaceships. And
right.
The thing that gives me a little bit of pause or gives it a little more like seriousness is because the Senate does not like hearing about shit they don't know about, especially when they have oversight committees and things like this. So when a whistleblower comes and tells them, yo, there's all this shit that it's happening that you guys have absolutely no fucking clue about. That's when like their egos get in the mix and they're like, well, hold the fuck up. What? And now they want to start getting some answers because, you know, there are plenty of programs that obviously may be shielded from the Senate. But it sounds like from Schumer's perspective and the other senators, they're like, it seems like a lot of this is going on and we have zero idea about it. And that's what's kind of fucking with us, because now other countries also have programs like this.
Yeah, they're saying that the U.S. is not alone. So the thing that I hadn't realized that felt like it was happening behind the scenes, and there is a lot of reporting on it, but it just didn't feel like it made a huge dent in the zeitgeist. Like this guy, David Grush, is like this super high clearance intelligence official who, you know, we talked about Lou Elizondo, who was leading like the Pentagon program on this. And then in 2017, he kind of defected and was like, look, like, we need to just be transparent about this. Like, this is what we're looking at. It feels like nobody's acknowledging the possibility of this. Well, there's been another one of those, this guy, David Grush, who, like, you know, the pictures of him, he just looks like a, like, military dork. Like, all of the pictures of these people, that's the thing that just seems so strange. It's like all these guys with, like, silver hair, just, like, combed, like, with, like, you know, huge hairspray, like silver. They just look like they're the picture on the wall at the local like military recruitment office. Right. Like they just look so buttoned up. They have like, you know, the salad on their chest and like all the, you know, military
ribbons
and little tags and stuff.
Yeah.
I suppose like they're really going a long way to like subverting the stereotypes of these people, like bringing them to like respectability. It's just no longer like the professor with like the two puffs of hair on either side.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the dreamy look in their eyes. Now, like some square who works in a high level clearance office and you're like, look, this is an issue.
Yeah. This is really weird, guys. Yeah. The guy, like the person I keep picturing, you like whenever they talk about like government officials who are like aware of this stuff, I picture the scientist from Independence Day, who has like long ratty like rat's nest hair and glasses, and the alien like takes over his body. Like I'm like, yeah, sure, there's a couple weirdos.
Data from Star Trek?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's a couple weirdos from the military, but yeah, all these guys are just. And when you like that, there has been like there was an astronaut who was like, yeah, before I was an astronaut, I was an Air Force pilot and I saw a flying saucer and like chased it around the sky and then it just sped up and like I couldn't catch up to it. Like there's a lot of testimony from people who just don't seem like the stereotypical person who like makes this shit up. And like that was the thing, like Marco Rubio came through and was like, look, there's two things. One of two things is happening here. Either what this guy is saying is partially true or entirely true, or we have some, or like part two, we have like a bunch, like a network of really smart, educated people with high military clearance and very important positions in our government who are crazy and are just like making shit up in a very like coordinated way to like send us on a weird wild goose chase. And like that feels wrong, you know,
right.
But like if that's true, that's also worth looking into. But yeah, so this guy David Grush, like he basically came out, there was a bunch of retaliation when he started trying to like be transparent about the stuff that he was seeing, and then they created this like whistleblower protection to make it so that you weren't allowed to retaliate against people for like coming forward with this sort of information. And once they did that, like all of these dudes started coming forward and just being like, yeah, there's like, it seemed, I guess there's all these different agencies just like nested inside like other military, like parts of the military who like they're, purpose seems to be investigating and like sometimes recovering crashed spacecraft. That
there's no other way to say it, you know, it's like, yeah, weird, like
I'm
like
I'm stopping UAP. Myself, I'm like, this doesn't seem right, but
yeah
like that's the question, like what, like Marco Rubio also said, what incentive would so many people with that kind of qualification, these are serious people, have to come forward and make something up that would completely ruin their career.
Right. Yeah. And again, the words that Grush like says, this is when I was like, oh fuck, this is wild. Cause he's talking about like, this is a coordinated effort with like other organizations involved to recover the craft or whatever, and then fucking disappear them basically. And then,
but also learn from them and profit from them.
Right. Like, exactly.
Yeah. That's the thing that's getting brought up that scares the shit out of me is they're like, and there's a lot of private military contractors who are also aware of this and also in the business of like recovering this stuff and then trying to learn from it and profit from it.
And reverse engineer the technology.
Yeah.
That's what makes it really. And I don't know if that gives credence to the idea of like some of these other Tic Tacs are, again, this is like super wild out there shit. But when they talk about how their people, like from his perspective, they are actively trying to reverse engineer the technology and try and figure it out, that I wonder if this is true. Like, if does every country have like little crashed space people that they're trying to fucking be like, hey, man, show me how to turn this iPod into a bomb or whatever. Like, what? I don't know. That's what makes it, I think, maybe of more interest to the Senate, if they think now this is maybe like we're talking about technologies that we're barely understanding and like people are fucking having laboratory time with.
Yeah.
I still like the idea of this stuff being privatized this quickly out the gate. It feels like, the last 20 years, like, you know, companies in general have just like taken every step they can to fuck with our lives in every little way, be it, you know, pop-up ads or like, you know, ads at the gas station. So imagine like alien technology being used to extract even more of our happiness out of our lives, like just like
Jesus,
some kind of like photon pop-up ad or right. photon ATM fee is not very inspiring to me right now.
Yeah. Capitalism with extraterrestrial technology.
Yeah, it's an ugly idea.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, just a couple more quotes from. So Jonathan Gray is a generational officer of the United States intelligence community with a top secret clearance, who currently works for the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, where the analysis of UAP has been his focus. And this is just a direct quote from this person. The non-human intelligence phenomenon is real. We are not alone. Like, just get over it. Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, and yet a global solution continues to elude us. this other guy who was like a Carl Nell, a retired army colonel who worked with Grush on the UAP task force, says his assertion concerning the existence of a terrestrial arms race occurring sub rasa over the past 80 years focused on reverse engineering technologies of unknown origin is fundamentally correct, as is the indisputable realization that at least some of these technologies of unknown origin derive from non-human intelligence. This is a retired army colonel.
That's just like his opinion.
It's just so fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
What do you do with those quotes, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't trust the military, but I also, like, just don't understand why these people are necessarily all coming out and coordinating to be like, yeah, like, this is what's going on. It's really fucked up. We really don't want this in, like, private hands, but it's like everybody's doing it, so we might as well just, like, tell the truth. Like, it doesn't seem more profitable. Like, one of the arguments that I'd always, like, had in my mind is that, okay, the military is going to start doing this to justify, like, increased military budgets, which, like, part of the problem with that explanation is that nobody is significantly pushing back against military budgets. So, like, right. they don't need to create aliens.
Yeah, they piss away aliens every day.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, what, and the direction of these quotes does not seem to be, so we need to, like, get on our shit and start outspending people. It's like, we need to tell people the truth about what's happening.
Right.
I don't know. It's very strange.
I mean, people in the military know one thing, power and violence. And I think what potentially, if they're they're probably motivated by the idea that some terrible shit could happen that, like, we're not quite figuring out. The fact that he said a terrestrial arms race occurring like in a clandestine way
for the past 80 years. Like, he's basically saying our current technology, like, the past 80 years of military development has at least been partially influenced by this shit.
God, can you imagine just, like, waking up one day in China, just all of a sudden has, like, some god-awful, like,
just silent, like, hovering craft over.
Hey, guess what? This is over now.
Sorry, we built 5 Iron Men.
Yeah.
So good luck, and a Dr. Manhattan for good measure. So here we go. But I think that's what I think gives me a little bit of pause, is when you have these guys who are all about destroying shit with weapons. It almost feels like, hey, y'all, like, we got to figure this out, because I don't know if we're behind or ahead or whatever, but, like, we got to know about this shit, and people need to know about this shit. That is a little alarming. So I wonder where this storage unit is with all the cool spaceships.
The thing. It seems like it's there are multiple all over the place, some in private hands. Like, that's what scares the shit out of me.
It's private,
like,
collector.
The private sector.
Harlan Crow.
That's where shit gets real fucked up. Yeah.
Welcome to my alien wing.
Yeah. He's like, the Nazi stuff is so trite. Check out this thing. It's a spaceship.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, you will get ocular cancer.
Yes.
I don't know why. We're still trying to figure that out. So just only look for a little bit.
The House Oversight Committee will hold a hearing on July 26th. So next week, featuring roughly half a dozen what they call superstar witnesses who served in both Democratic and Republican administrations, talking about this stuff. So it is an ongoing story, and it seems like this is going to be more and more of a thing, I would think, because it really seems like the whistleblower protection just opened up the floodgates, and now everyone's just like, all right, so I can like say the thing now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not.
Oh, my God. Like, it's fucking weird, dude.
Yeah.
Please.
It's crazy out here. Real vindication for a lot of people. Could be real vindication for a lot of people who live
Tom
out
DeLong.
In the desert. Tom DeLong.
Tom DeLong's having a great year. He really is. He is fucking climbing back up, man.
When Travis Barker comes knocking on his door to get the band, he's like, "Wellichi, wellichi, wellichi. Look who came crawling.
Come back for the wacko." Sorry, I got to testify before the house tomorrow. I can't join your little garage band.
Yeah, exactly. But shit you guys were laughing at me about. You fuck. Oh, fuck you, man. I'm right now. But it is interesting to see, like, what this process is going to be of, if this is true, truly, how do you begin a reckoning with that? Like, that's a huge fucking mental bridge to cross.
Yeah.
Like, as people, as a government, whatever, to be like, so y'all, yes, we've been real quiet about this shit, but there are, you know, people have been recovering stuff for a while now. And we're not alone. And some people are kind of trying to start fucking around with the technology, or actually have been for years. That, like, even I have trouble being like, oh, for real? I mean, like, I'm barely for
Congress that's like, you know, arguing about, like, you know, LGBT flags and, like, you know, Jason Aldean songs, you have to now start grappling with, like, existential questions.
Yeah.
That, like, redefine how we view the universe and how we view ourselves. Like, that doesn't seem like they're really equipped to handle that.
They're
going
to be like, we need to kill the woke aliens.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
More woke aliens. How,
like, that, I had that thought during the course of this. Like, what's Marjorie Taylor Greene going to, like, do with this information? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I can imagine that you could get a lot of religious fanatics, like, edge. Yo, absolutely. That would, because that is a fucking, that would completely fuck their worldview up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless, what are they going to say? It's Christ come back on a spaceship? Are they going to say it's Satan on a spaceship? Are they going to say it's a lie because we are, actually everything revolves around our little earth because God says so? I don't know. This will be.
Something tells me they'll be able to very easily invent some new rule that automatically resolves this. So they never seem to be that caught up by inconsistencies.
They seem to be good at converting large events into outrage in some way or another. So
right. What are they going to blame Joe Biden?
Yeah. Well, so all
you
of this
brought
does
this alien scourge upon us, Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the things
zero aliens.
Zero aliens. Yeah.
Deal with it.
God. What if Trump's the president when all this shit breaks through? One of the things this creates is a 9-person like congressional committee that is sort of the acknowledged, like, you know, all this stuff was happening inside a closed box, and this would at least be a, like, this 9-person committee would be able to review all documents having to do with any, you know, discovery of extraterrestrial objects or materials or whatever, and then, like, make a decision as to whether to declassify it or share it with the public. So I'm guessing, like, it won't just be, they won't be like, yep, post it on the Discord. It's going to be pretty, right, you know, but at least it, like, opens the idea of there being a release valve to the public, which has to be better than just the closed, you know, underground thing that's been happening. But then it does ultimately, I think, land with the president. Like, that would be the design, is that the president gets to decide if something is declassified.
Dude, if Trump was fucking president again, he would keep all the alien shit for himself.
Yeah.
He'd be like,
just be there next to some boxing gloves from, you know.
And they're like, sir, there is some, I'm getting some wild radiological readings off of that shard of metal on your desk.
With the boxing glove?
No, God. The side of your face is blue. Oh, that's the one I kind of nuzzled against the sheet of metal last night. I don't feel good now. Yeah. It's I don't know. We love an alien, don't we, folks?
We do. We love them, folks.
We love the alien, folks, don't we?
Well, Django, such a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Man.
Where
Thanks
can people
you
find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I think the best way to find me is on various social media platforms like Instagram and YouTube and even TikTok lately at Django Industries, one word. That's Django, DJANGO Industries. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I will be having a stand-up comedy special dropping in a few weeks, and a few could be any number at this point. But let's just say September. All right.
I like that. Good month.
That's a few. Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, I forgot. That's right. This actually will double back to the Jason Aldean thing, because the tweet in question that I liked was from the Eve 6 guy, aka Max Collins. And I retweeted it, only pulled up right now. Max Collins tweeted this morning, country music has gone from, like, quote, I shot a lawman just to watch him die, end quote, to, quote, if you don't turn your music down, I will call the police, not to mention my state senator, end quote. And it really is, yeah, we've just become a nation of crybabies. It's really a damn shame.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me on at based lifeforms, at Miles of Gray, wherever you get them. And find me on my new podcast, The Good Thief, talking about Greece's modern day Robin Hood. Really awesome podcast. Also catch Jack and I on our new our regular basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And also check me and Sophia Alexander out on 420 Day Fiance. I'm hitting the entire spectrum of podcasts right now. It's kind of fucking wild. And let's see. Tweet I like is from Caroline Renard, at Caroline Renard, underscore tweeted, replacing actors on set with AI means you're replacing a hairstylist, a makeup artist, a costumer, a script supervisor, a stuntman, a driver, a stand-in, a smaller skeleton crews, etc. Because the studios will say there's no need for these other jobs because no actors. Yeah, there's a lot at stake here. And then also at Luke Barnett also tweeted, it's going to be interesting. This isn't just SAG, WGA or UPS. This is all workers. In 1980, CEOs made on average 30 times the pay of their lowest worker. David Zaslav makes over 1,000 times as much as the lowest paid max employee. This is a workers deserve more, CEOs deserve less fight. Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. Work media I've been enjoying actually contradicts, like, you know, a lot of the strike stuff we've been talking about, because Amy at LolNUI tweeted, hearing disturbing rumors that some of these protesters on the picket line are professional actors. So
you did NUI again, Jack. You did NUI again.
NUI. Lol on we. Hey, man.
NUITUI.
We all got our struggles, you know.
Yeah, I get
mine
it.
Is to correctly pronounce on we. Every
As
time
a philosophy
I see it.
Major.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song you think people might enjoy?
I think they're going to enjoy this track by Nala, N-A-L-A, who's a DJ from Miami, but now, you know, doing stuff in L.A., featuring Nicki Nair. It's called The World Is Always Ending. But, like, the vibe is, like, it's the music that she's making, it feels like Chemical Brothers kind of stuff from the 90s. It's really cool, like, sort of chopped up breaks with, like, cool synths and, like, vocals over it. So I think if you were a Chemical Brothers fan back in the day, or you're open to some neck-breaking beats, check this one out.
All right, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back on Monday to tell you what was trending over the weekend. We'll have a, you know, best of the week over the weekend, weekly Zeitgeist, and then special episode on Tuesday. So we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.